often volunteer their time at various church events as altar servers, at fundraisers, and other functions at the parish. And other parishioners often would remark how well-behaved these kids were even into their teenage years. And when asked what her secret was, she would reply, "Well, I always send them to church and allow God to do the rest." But then she would often add, "My husband and I try to do the best that we can. We try to teach our children the faith. We try to live it out as well, sometimes with success and sometimes not so, but always striving to be examples." Eventually, though, she would say, "I have come to realize that it is too much work to think that everything depends on us to bring up our children right. These children never just belong to my husband and I alone. They primarily belong to God. And at times when I'm at my wit's end and can do no more, I simply entrust them to God, knowing that He will see to it that they return back to Him." We don't ultimately belong to our parents. And parents, your kids don't ultimately belong to you either. We don't belong to the company that we work for. We don't even belong entirely to our spouses or other family members or even good friends or anything else. We belong to God. The solemnity of the presentation of our Lord in the temple that we celebrate today reminds us of this. Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. Joseph and Mary were not only bringing Jesus to the temple to give thanks to God for his birth, but they were bringing him to be dedicated, to be consecrated. And to consecrate something or someone means to set aside that thing to be dedicated for holy purposes. So in a way, they were saying, this child is set aside for God's holy purposes, to do his will, and ultimately to belong to him. But that's not just for Jesus. It's for us as well. And when we were conceived, each of us was set aside for God's holy purposes in the world. And like Mary and Joseph, all parents are called to remind their children of this. Of your grandchildren, you do this by remembering that you are the primary teachers of the faith to your children. This means that you not only bring them to God's dwelling place, the church, very much like Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, but also that you make sure that they receive the waters of life-giving grace in their souls in the sacrament of baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. You model forgiveness by giving and seeking it through the sacrament of confession on a regular basis, monthly if possible. But more so than just checking off the list of making sure that they receive all their sacraments and then stopping after third grade when they received everything, it also means that you have to teach your kids about the faith, pray with them at home by word and example, and learn it yourself. There are so many things in this life, right, that Satan tries to throw at us to make us forget about this consecration and dedication to God that we have all received. Because you see, if Satan can convince us that we don't belong to God, that we're not consecrated to him, that our lives belong into our hearts, we can begin to doubt our self-worth. We can doubt that we're infinitely loved by God. We can doubt that we have been given an individual purpose by him to change this world, to light it up, to witness to him. And if we forget this consecration, we may then try to find true love and relationships in empty promises, such as lustful actions on the internet, on certain apps, on snaps, DMs, or with others. We can occupy ourselves even with mutual things to a degree, such as binge-watching shows can leave us no time to pray, or that we get so caught up in our work at the office at night and on the weekends that we don't have much time for family or church. Or even good things, such as certain soccer or football club practices, drama or musical recitals, can become so much that we start skipping mass here and there, finally to not going at all. This is not to say, don't get me wrong, that giving up all, that you need to give up on all these things and spend every waking moment in the church. But it does mean putting things in perspective, not putting God as second place, putting him first before everything else. And there are people who have done this and have done this well as well. Now, I don't know if you all know, but there's apparently this big, like, football game happening today. You know, the San Francisco Chiefs and Kansas City 49ers. Just kidding, you guys are all awake. I'm just testing you, right? Teens, and everybody's eyes goes up and everybody awakes, but then you talk about Jesus and you're half asleep. Come on, Catholics. Now, I don't think God necessarily chooses sides on a football game, right? Unless, of course, there's more faithful Catholics on one team than another. But I recently watched an interview with Kansas City Chiefs place kicker Harrison Butker. And Harrison may not be a household name, but this 24-year-old could end up being the deciding factor in a game that is expected to come down to the wire. He is second in NFL history in career field goal percentage with 89.7%. But in an interview, Harrison talked about how he was raised Catholic, but like many teens, began to lose his faith in high school. He said, "I grew up Catholic. I was going to Mass every Sunday, and then I stopped after doing a little bit of travel, doing year-round club soccer, parents. He fell away a little bit. Then in high school, he started questioning his faith, his belief in God, and he felt like he was just going through the motions. And he said, I liked football, but there was nothing else in my life that I was really passionate about. There was nothing I saw, no light at the end of the tunnel. There was school, football, emptiness of social life from the typical party scene. However, on his college football team at Georgia Tech, he met this guy, Grant, a fellow football player. And he said Grant showed up and he was so different from the typical college guy who didn't care about much, who just looked forward to the weekends. And this guy was energetic, spoke to everybody he met. He wanted to strike up a conversation and he said he just had this spark. And as it turns out, he said, he was Catholic and very into his faith. So after having several conversations with this priest, as well as Grant saw Harrison growing in his faith, and one day he invited him to go to confession. And Harrison, this Kansas City Chiefs guy, kicker, said, this was the moment that changed everything. When I left that confessional, the way I felt, that was what made me feel really different. I felt like I was authentically Harrison in every area of my life. And speaking of his confession, he said, well, there are things the church says that are sins, and I was struggling with them, and I still continue to struggle a little bit with them after the first confession. But he said, these are all sins, and I said, I'm going to stop doing these things. And then he said he saw the fruit from it, the fruit of living a holy, grace-filled life, and the peace that came with it. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is what recognizing our consecration and dedication to God brings about. We become strong witnesses like Grant, who led Harrison back. We become wise in recognizing the futility of sinful pleasures that leave us empty in the end. We become God's instruments of light. We don't buy into the lies of the enemy. But eventually we realize the truth of our identity and the peace and joy of knowing that we belong to God.